This one says, "Hi, Corey. Village shops need to stay closed for the duration. Most have been very disrespectful and uncouth through this very challenging time. I know of a particular shop up by me that has been open way past 9 p.m. They just have closed on the door. Come on, we have to reset, plain and simple." I don't know about most, but if you have a specific example in your area, we could highlight that one, but I don't know about most. Let's leave that one there. Brastax, good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon, Brastax. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Hi, Corey. I just have a very quick contribution I'd like to make. How are you doing, by the way?
I am well, thank you. And you?
I'm good, thanks. No complaints at all. You know, all for the pending shutdown. So short contributions. First one, I honestly do not understand the logic behind closing the village stores. I thought leaving the village stores last time open, as long as they're monitored, as long as they're, you know what I mean, as long as you make sure that persons are doing what they're supposed to do, as long as you educate and build awareness, which is what you were talking about just now, the need to educate and build awareness, just like in the days of HIV, that the village stores are a great way of taking the pressure off of the supermarket, of preventing people from having to traverse, you know, long and larger distances to then all congregate in a supermarket that has, you know, 500 aisles and 500,000 items that obviously cannot be cleaned and sanitized as easily as you go to the village shop. And after you get what you want, the, you know, the store owner or storekeeper comes with their rag and alcohol and wipes it off. Because when you go to a village store, the village store, the chances are 9 out of 10, the person who is there, that is their house. They are worried about their house, their, you know what I mean, their family, because they're about to leave the store and walk right back inside and carry, you know, anything that they contracted in the store with them. You understand what I mean? So it's a far more, for them, it is a far more personal matter, making sure that everything is sanitized. And because it is a smaller space, it is easier for them to keep it sanitized. When you're dealing with a supermarket now, it's a larger space, and the few persons there who are, you know, working, it's stretched out just trying to make sure that people socially distance and don't eat. So to ask them now to make sure that every single bottle of, you know, deodorant and every single toothbrush has been wiped and sanitized when, you know, the 60 people or whatever were allowed inside the store, that's not going to happen. It's certainly not going to happen as easily. So that's my first quick take or contribution. Should I keep going?
Yeah, keep going. Very good. Mm-hmm.
The second one is, I was listening with great interest to what Dr. Armagan had said earlier. I support what he says, and my only concern is this. You have spoken in the past about 5-second democracy. When you go, you vote for somebody, and then for the next 5 years, there's no real or meaningful consultation. Now, I don't want to speak out of turn and assume that, you know, gentlemen like Dr. Armagan had not been consulted. However, from the sounds of it, it does not sound as if persons like himself were consulted. So in the press conference, it was said that, you know, lots of persons were consulted. They spoke to a wide range of persons, and I'm sure they were, and I know that, you know what I mean, you will never get consensus and you can't speak to every single person on the island. But it sounds to me like a lot of persons who can make substantial input into doing this thing better, managing it better, because this comes down to management. We have to manage this situation. It's not going anywhere. Just like leptospirosis, HIV, and the common flu, it is going to be with our species, I suspect, forever. So we need to manage it, and we need to have as many persons and as many, you know, logical, right-thinking, intelligent heads on board making contributions as to how we can manage it and get back to as normal a life as possible. Because you can't shut down the island every 4 months or every 6 months. It's, you know what I mean? That's not a sustainable or feasible way for a country to live. And it's not going to happen because the person was talking, somebody had WhatsApped you about the village shops and closing down the village shops because it says it's closed and, you know, after 9 o'clock it's open. Well, Corey, if that is no and people are still able to operate and you've got a black market situation going on, imagine what can happen when people are not allowed to operate. It can go beyond a black market situation. You know what I mean? This is human behavior. This is human response.
I want to touch on both points before you go. And the first one is someone here asking, caller, who is going to monitor all the village shops in Barbados? You? what are your response in terms of monitoring the village shops? Because I believe that they're thinking that the supermarkets are going to have better protocols, the sanitation stations, the social distancing and so on. What is your suggestion in terms of monitoring the village shop? Because I want to underscore a point you made in terms of somebody to get the bus, public transport, to go to a supermarket. So I want to make that. So how would you monitor the village shops complaint?
Well, already last night, in the press conference, it was said that using a similar strategy, the polling units and the polling booths, we're going to have persons combing the island, going to houses, looking for, you know, or talking to people, finding out if persons have symptoms of COVID and so forth and so forth. So it seems as if we already have what is going to be an effective surveillance unit going through communities, policing them, seeing who is sick. So it looks as if already we have a situation where persons are going to be mobilized. Those same persons, I do believe, could be the head and perfect persons to, when they're going through communities, to stop by a village shop and say, "But boss man, you know that these people standing up real close to each other. I'm not here to shut you down. I just here to let you know that these people in here standing up real close to each other. What are you really doing?" And those persons then would be able to report back to the authorities and say, you know what, you've got a situation here, you need to pass through. This particular store is not taking this situation seriously. The thing is that COVID is about, and COVID protocols are about protecting you and me. And the same way, as you would know only too well, the same way it was important in the HIV message to get out to persons that, you know what, condoms are about protecting you. It's about protecting you first and your partner afterwards. It's much the same way it is important that once that you get in the COVID message, you get out that, you know what, it is about protecting you. You might be young, but you might have an underlying condition that you don't know about. Because, I mean, seriously, Corey, everybody born under a certain age, as far as I'm concerned, they got asthma. I'm usually not wrong in that assumption. Or you might be young and you might be healthy, but there are very few people in Barbados that do not live with or close to or in contact with a great aunt, a grandmother, a grandfather, a god uncle. You get where I'm coming from? So it strikes very close to home. And as long as this becomes a situation where people understand that really and truly, we all have to get on board for our good, and it is not a punitive situation whereby you won't behave yourself, so I'm going to take away your rum and I'm going to close down the country again. As long as it is understood that, no, this really is an effort to get everyone on board. And I think the Prime Minister is trying to do that, send across the message that we're trying to get persons on board. However, you can make a very good presentation and do a very good press conference, but then what happens afterwards? What is done afterwards? What is done by the policies that are executed, the way in which the situation is managed by all of the other parties charged now with with carrying forward that policy, that is either going to reinforce or undo everything that was said and done in the press conference. Because I heard don't panic, relax, pause, breathe, you know, at least 10 times last night. And I look outside this morning across the Carlton, Corey, people panicking. Ain't nobody pausing, and they're breathing a lot. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, yeah. Most of them are breathing in masks.
I saw a lot of memes about how, you know, these supermarkets would be filled and so on. And I figured that, you know, people will see that and say, well, I got 7 days. I mean, let the crowd go and they can go tomorrow. And then probably tomorrow would have been full and today would have been empty. But I was surprised to see, or I actually wasn't that surprised, but surprised to see so many people, you know, rushing today when we specifically say you got 7 days. And everybody rushed today, and by the next 4 days, it light, you could go in and pick up two things that come out. The other thing that people here are mentioning about the village shop closure is, why are you sending me to the supermarket for a pack of bread and a tin of tuna? That's all I want. So why are you sending me all the way there? I guess we will have to bulk buy, or, and then I will turn into the discussion about the finances to do so. One of the other ways to monitor the situation is to not even monitor it, but prevent it. By making an example, I find that that worked with the curfew. I knew a few people who broke curfew. They show up in the papers with a $4,000 fine. The same thing with a shop. If you want to make money, you ensure that no one is hanging out, liming by your shop, because people think that's a problem with the village shops as well, the hanging out and the liming. You say, well, you want to continue to make money. You don't encourage this behavior, or we will shut you down, publicly shut you down, so the rest get the message. And if you want to go further, drop a big fine in your backside. Therefore, the rest of the shops can tell themselves, see, well, I want to keep open so I can sell my little thing and make my little money so I can make sure in here is properly run. So that's just to wrap up point one. The other point about consultation, when I listened to Dr. Armagon as well, it reminded me of the state of school. We have this thing within our society, and these are the people who we speak to. These are the people who we deal with. When we talk in serious business, and that is just the way it is. And when people continue to do that, as much as they would like us to believe there's no them and us, no separation, as you would appreciate, whenever major decisions are being made, the average person always cries out about that consultation, because you often lack that type of representation at the big people table. You know what I mean? You're not there. And that is one of the ways I believe that we can strengthen democracy. How do we get the representation to trickle down? That is by having, let's have a representative of a particular group. So let's talk about BARP. When BARP says X, if BARP consults with its entire membership, 20,000, 10,000, however many there are, when the person for BARP speaks then to those making the decisions, those persons should feel as though, yes, my voice has been heard. And how do we expand that beyond organizations like BARP throughout the communities? And I believe that that's what MPs should be doing. You're a representative constituency. You should have some kind of communication wavelength open that you can speak to your constituency rep. Those who belong to bodies and organizations, you have that communication. So that when decisions are made, you've made the widest cross-section of consultation to make the best decision, and people feel as though they're part of the solution and not being spoken at.
Exactly. I could not agree with you more.
All right. So thank you very much, not just for agreeing with me, but for calling and putting your contribution
on. Thank you for having me. Have a blessed day.
Yes, this is Corey Lane from Down to Brass Stacks. Thank you for calling. 9 minutes before 2, we are now approaching the close. As I like to say, there are no more turns in this Down to Brass Stacks as we head on home and strike up the band for yet another Down to Brass Stacks. Good afternoon and welcome.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, please. Good afternoon.
Yes. So just quickly, because I know that we don't have much time. I am thinking that, is there a possibility, this is where I want to engage you, of us thinking about nutrition and really getting back to how we are feeding our people? Because I would imagine that food is going to be an issue going forward. And how are people coming out? Is there a campaign? How are we educating our people on how moving forward we are eating locally and making eating in Barbados sustainable? And also making agriculture sexy. So in this period of lockdown, let's get a campaign where everybody is trying to grow something, something for themselves. So we all have a basic understanding that you need to get back to food. You need to be able to feed your body properly. And I'm not talking about the biscuits and just proper food. So, yeah, that's just something I want to engage you on for a minute.
Definitely. Actually, off the air, you would be glad to hear it. Actually discussing, doing a show here online, discussing with some people in terms of coming in and making nutrition a wide cross-section type topic where people could actually feel engaged in it.
Yeah.
So that's something we definitely need to do. I think it's something we take for granted, or sometimes we believe that people will not take to, they just wouldn't do it. So I think we definitely got to look at that. That and the whole idea of mosquito eradication once again.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
Thank you. Brad Starks, good afternoon. You can look forward to the end. I have a friend of mine telling me, why don't you ask these people for a show? You know, to lighten the mood. So yes, you want Brad Starks? Just a moment. But as I finish again, I can finish and tell the joke. You go ahead, Carla. You're on the air.
Hi, Corey.
Yes, please.
Oh, how are you today?
I am well, thanks. And you?
Okay, I'm fine. I'm a first-time caller. I was calling in connection with the persons that are talking about the village shop. But they need to remember that before, when the village shops were open, there were no community spread. There were no other strain of virus. So that means that these cases can be transmitted now through the community when you open the shop. So I think it's a good thing to keep the shops closed.
Mm-hmm. And like most things, there are people who will believe they'll be closed and they'll be empty, and we here on Brass Stats give you the opportunity to share your opinion. This is fantastic. Okay? All right. Brass Stats, good afternoon. We go again. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
Yes, please.
Yes, I am very happy to have the curfew extended. And my heart goes out to Miss Montley. She has a very big housekeeping job that I would not want for all the tea in China, and I don't want the tea in China. So I hope and I pray that the nurses, as I'm a retired nurse, will be safe. And I pray for my country because I love my country, and I hope that everything will work out. But this coronavirus is going to take some time. And no matter how these people rushing with the vaccine and the vaccine and the vaccine, it is going to take time. And I remember when I was growing up, the inspectors used to forbid people from going around people's home that had tuberculosis. And another thing that I observed in the wartime, that even government house had to turn off the lights at night. So I am happy with the curfew. Thank you and have a good afternoon.
Thank you and have a good afternoon as well. Brad Starks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I want to stay over America.
You want to do what? Hello? Brad Starks, you are on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon.
Yeah. It's a repeat. So my mother, she's 93 years old. Mm-hmm. I dropped hypertension medicine and diabetic medication. Mm-hmm. I told them I was coming later in the day. Now I gone to the guy that the guard said that we have to wait on the line. The line is so long. We called the pharmacy to ask, you know, what was the position. And they're saying now that you will have to wait on the medication. Right, you will have to wait online, right? And the person that the person medication is have to go back to work, right? I don't know. This situation is ridiculous. Why you call it repeats? I know you can't get them. My mother is 93 years old, need her medication, and can't get it. So I just called to let people know to be aware of these things. You have pharmacies, yet there should be two lines, one for the pharmacy and one for the supermarket.
One thing I like about these calls, it gives the opportunity to the management to correct the issue so that they know what's going to happen. So I thank you for that. Let me take this opportunity to leave you all with this one. A doctor wanted to heal 3 insane people. He asked the first insane man, what is 3 plus 3? He said, 2,500. He said, look, you're really insane, said the doctor. The second man replied, man, 3 plus 3 is Wednesday. The daughter said, you're too far gone. The third man said, look, 3 plus 3 is 6. The daughter said, bravo, how did you get that? The man said, easy, man. We divide 2,500 by Wednesday, you get 6. I want to thank those who would have called, who messaged, who text, who would WhatsApp, of course, site from Canada, who spent the day with us in the lounge. For joining us on this Brass Talk Wednesday edition. You enjoy the rest of your day. This lane is now closed.